Hello, lacrosse friends. Welcome once again to LaxBeat, the podcast formerly known as BoxLaBeat. I am your host, Stephen Stamp. Very pleased that you're here with us once again. I really think you're going to enjoy this conversation today with a fine lacrosse player and fine young man. 6 years ago, Kellen LeClaire was a promising rookie in the National Lacrosse League. He had been selected by the Calgary Roughnecks with the 25th overall pick, one spot behind Tyson Bell, also by Calgary. And LeClaire looked like he was poised to have the same kind of impact in the league that Tyson Bell has had, maybe not on the transition side, but certainly in the defensive zone. He was that strong of a prospect, had a great rookie season, and then some disaster struck. He had a knee injury that precluded him from playing that following season. And then there was an issue with his heart. We're going to talk all about it during the show, but basically he has not played since his rookie season of 2016. And now, after being cleared, after sudden improvement and being allowed to play, he is back with the Calgary Roughnecks and playing with his younger brother, Liam. It is a great story, and he does a wonderful job of sharing his experiences through the entire period, leaving the game, never thinking he would be back in the game, and now returning to the National Lacrosse League. It is a feel-good story. It is one that you are going to really enjoy. So please buckle in and enjoy this interview with Kellen LeClaire, returned to the Calgary Roughnecks here on LaxBeat. Joining me on LaxBeat, welcome back to the show and welcome back to the National Lacrosse League, Kellen LeClaire. Great to have you here.
Thank you very much, Stamper. Good to be here.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it was so neat to see you added to the roster, to see the Roughnecks post something that you were coming back. And I pretty much immediately reached out to you because it's been 6 years and we'll get into all the details. But I remember the first thing you said when I talked to you was, yeah, I wasn't sure they were going to do that. You were kind of hoping to fly under the radar a bit when you first got going again, right?
Yeah, almost. Like, I knew for a little while that there might be a comeback potentially happening, but I was kept it really low key. Like, I didn't even really tell any of my friends, family, like nobody really knew, because I didn't want to start like spreading rumors until I knew it was true. And honestly, like, I was in the process of getting cleared still, and then I saw that get posted and I was like, okay, they must have fully cleared me, because I didn't even actually talk to like the team cardiologist who finally like gave me the final clearance until after that got posted. But so they got notified, and then the word was out.
So there's so many things to talk about here. I want to start with how the weekend went, because you know, you haven't played for 6 years, and again, we will get to all that why and everything, but you haven't played for 6 years. You come in, so many things to look at with Calgary and, you know, fighting for playoff position, your brother on the team, and you jump in a weekend where you have a pair of games Thursday and Saturday. How'd the weekend go from your perspective, and what did it feel like to get back in and play so much over the weekend?
It was wild. I didn't expect to get back in that quick right off the bat. Like, first time practicing in 5 years, one practice, and I played the next day, which was crazy. For me personally, I was pretty happy with how the weekend went. I could definitely know I could do a lot better, but I figured it would take a little bit to get it back, but I started feeling more confident by the end. I thought we played well the first game. The second game was a little rough. We had a lot of shots in the game, and we started off pretty strong, but then we had a rough third quarter, and Panther City was able to come out on top, but we battled hard at the end, and I thought it was overall a good weekend for me to get back into it, and just going to keep trying to get better and work the rust off.
Yeah, and I mean, there's bound to be rust. Like you said, you know, a handful of years since you've played, and I was excited to see the game. I know your dad was. I messaged him, and he was pretty stoked to see you and Liam out there playing. And I thought, okay, how's this going to go? I thought there's got to be some rust. It's got to be tricky. And then the first shift I saw you take, right where I saw you against Saskatchewan, Austin Murphy kind of heads up, you go up, he ducks underneath, kind of turnstiles you and goes in for a goal. And I thought that's a rough start, but it got so much better. Not to throw you under the bus, but I mean, it's just, you looked like you were getting back into the game, but I thought as the game, that game went on, and as the Saturday game went on, you looked so much more comfortable and just started to look like the player you were, you know, 6 years ago.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, that play was brutal right away. When that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, I knew right away it was going to look horrible on film, and it did. But after that, it kind of woke me up, and then I tried to just get a little more physical out there to kind of just get more in the mix and stop thinking so much and just throw myself in the game. And I thought that helped. Once I started kind of laying the body more and making some more big hits and stuff, it helped me just get back into game mode and let my like senses and reactions take over rather than thinking too much.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was thinking watching. Was it looked like you were thinking, which is, again, exactly, you when you study, you know, sports science and sports psychology, that's exactly the process when you're new, when you're either, you know, like in your case, coming back, or when you you know, when you're new to a situation, is the heavy thinking process is what we talk about in the sports science. And I just thought it was fascinating to see kind of a class in that as you got more and more of your instincts returning as the weekend went on. And I thought it kind of played itself out in a, like you said, like kind of less movement. Like it was almost like you were chasing around a bit at first, getting your feel like, where am I supposed to be? Should I be over here? Should I be over here? And as you get back into it, you get the physical side, you start to get more comfortable. You could just see that you were naturally getting into position. You were naturally being where you needed to be. And it was, I thought it was really interesting to see, and how for to see it happen and see how quickly it was happening as well.
Yeah, for sure, Stamper. Thank you. I was like pretty impressed with myself too, how quickly it was happening. by the second game, I felt so much more comfortable. I know there's still a lot of work to be done, but like even right after the first game, I watched the whole game, like watched every shift where I was on defense like multiple times and broke down what happened. And I like even just not even in my play strategically, but also even in the way I was running, moving around, like I was like, all right, I got to get lower, get shorter, choppier steps, stop leaning on people and like lunging so much. And like even still, like I've been running and whatnot, working out, but it's hard to simulate like that change of direction and quick low shuffling and moving around. So I already got some cones and a speed ladder ready to start working on that stuff as well and try to just get my feet back. But yeah, there's a lot of things I picked up on the film that helped for that second game. And then also just, like I said, working the rust off, and then also the nerves. Like I was really nervous the first game coming back in, like one of the most nerve-wracking games I've ever had, to be honest. Like that, I remember my first junior B game, I was super nervous. First junior A game, super nervous. First NLL. And it was like kind of one of those, like with the first, it felt like that because it was such a long time off and then the comeback to playing. So I was really nervous at first, but second game, I definitely felt a lot better.
And did the nervousness, I mean, was it, obviously all those games is because of a, you know, again, a new situation you're immersed in, but how much was the medical or the health side a part of that? Or had it been long enough that you'd been preparing for it, that you felt completely confident that everything was going to be fine?
I'd say the medical side was a very small part of it. Like it was a little bit in the back of my mind, but at the same time, I have been pushing myself hard and working out hard and running a lot. So I already knew, like, if a game happens, at least I have a doctor there. You know, usually I'm just running around on like trails near my house and like sprinting and doing all this stuff anyways, where there's no one. So
yeah,
it's not like anything different than what I've already been doing.
Yeah. And so let's talk about what it was that had you out of the game. Cause I want to just go back to, you know, 2015, you're a highly ranked prospect. I had you 18th in my rankings in what was probably the best draft in NLL history. You go back, that was the draft that started out Lyle Thompson, Graham Hossack, Jesse King, Wes Berg, Chad Tutton, Randy Stotts, Riley O'Connor, Dan Lintner, Brad Gillies, all of them. That's the first round. They're all still key players in the league. Yeah. It just kept going. And at that point, you wound up going 25th, but you're, you know, highly rated prospect, and you come in, have a solid rookie season with Calgary in 2016. And then it was the knee injury and then the heart when you're coming back, right?
So yeah, I actually went to Calgary. That I was in the draft a year early too. So like I declared for the draft a year early and ended up getting picked. And then after that season went pretty well because before that summer too, I was actually playing junior B, played my first junior A summer in Six Nations, got drafted after that. In Six Nations, they gave me the most improved player. Like from the start to the end of that year, I improved so much. Got drafted, went straight into the pros. So in just over a year, I was from only ever playing junior B to playing in the NLL. And then had that season, went really well for considering that, and then went back to Six Nations. And I felt like that summer I got a lot better, ended up playing in the man as well, because we got knocked out by Orangeville in the Ontario finals. We got swept. We were on a 16-17 game win streak to finish the season. Swept our first couple rounds of playoffs, then we got swept by Orangeville, and then I played for the Chiefs and we won a man cup. And then I was coming back in training camp in a preseason game against Vancouver was when I tore my knee, and that preseason was actually going really well for me. So that was a really tough injury that started all of my layoff.
Right. So you have the knee, and that's a great recap, because I mean, and there's more I want to get into. I want to dive into the Minto Cup from 2015 a little bit and talk about the Man Cup and just all that progress from, you know, Windsor to Six Nations to Calgary. But then, you know, you're rehabbing the knee, you're working on getting ready to come back. And then when did you find out about the heart, and what was it that that they told you was going on?
So the knee, so I did my knee, had the first surgery out in Calgary that year, and then I went home. The next year, I was doing rehab at home and stuff, but it was a lot better the next year when I got out to Calgary, and I lived out there rehabbing and just practicing with the team and working for Elevate Lacrosse, Jeff Snyder's and Bobby Snyder's company, doing just like coaching lacrosse. So I was around lacrosse a ton in Calgary, using my stick every day, coaching, playing, and rehabbing. So that was going really well. And then I was supposed to come back at the end of the season, a little bit before playoffs. But honestly, my knee was still not feeling 100%. It takes a while to recover from I did my ACL, meniscus, and fractured my femur. So it took a while. But I was supposed to come back. But as I was coming back, I started noticing that I had an irregular heartbeat. Like I could just tell that something was off, and I would take my pulse and I could notice, like I felt like something was wrong. And I told the team doctor, and they didn't think it was a big deal at first. I was still like practicing and doing everything, but then we started getting some more testing done. We went to a cardiologist that's like connected with the team, and they got me some more tests, and they ended up finding out that my heart was not in good condition. It was basically I had an irregular heartbeat. Like almost 15% of all my beats were irregular. So my heart was having palpitations like thousands and thousands of times per day, and it was also not pumping efficiently. It was pumping like about 45% of blood per beat. The ejection fraction, 45%, and you want that in an athlete up above like 60%. So it was like they could tell something was wrong. And as we did more tests, they found out it was something called dilated cardiomyopathy, where I had a enlarged heart and the walls of my heart were basically thinner, and it wasn't pumping efficiently or properly. Like I had all these palpitations and not pumping like a good percentage of blood per beat. So, and there was a risk of sudden cardiac arrest in athletes that have that. And that had like the symptoms, especially with the symptoms I was experiencing and stuff, there was like, the doctors thought it was too risky for me to be able to play lacrosse and said that I would probably never play again. And then I had to call it after that season. And I never thought I would come back. I had a sliver of hope alive, but for a while I was just like kind of trying to accept that I was going to be done playing lacrosse.
So what did you throw yourself into with not being able to play? I know you kept yourself busy.
Yeah. So I, first of all, when I got home, I had started doing some yoga to help rehabilitate my knee, hot yoga. And I felt that that really helped. And then it was something that I could still do with my heart condition, because it is good exercise. It's good for your heart, but it's not pushing the heart rate up like too high, like lacrosse or running or like some of these other types of workouts I was doing. Mm-hmm. So I really got into hot yoga, ended up doing that for like a couple years, and then ended up becoming a certified hot yoga instructor. Like I went to Ecuador for 2 months. I did a month training to become a yoga instructor. And then I did a month just traveling around, came back, and I've been teaching yoga ever since, about 3 years. And then I also got into music around that time because I couldn't walk. My knee was like messed up. I couldn't do anything. I was sitting at home all the time and just had just finished university. So I was like, all right, I need a new hobby to keep me like engaged, or like something that I can do, because lacrosse was like my passion. I couldn't do that anymore. So I started getting into music production and audio engineering. And I actually ended up doing an internship at a studio in Windsor and learning to become an audio engineer. And I'm still working doing that as well. So like I've been audio engineering and teaching yoga, which I'm still doing both of those things right now.
Very cool. I might have to get you to work on my wife's next album when she has it coming out. She's a terrific singer songwriter. And
okay, sweet.
Yeah. So then when did you hear, like, when did it start to seem a possibility? Cause I remember we ran into each other at the President's Cup up in Ganawage, which would have been 2019.
Yep.
And at that point there was no sense really that you were close to a comeback. Was there?
No. At that point, I did not think I was going to come back. And honestly, it wasn't until about a year ago about a year and a half ago, my palpitations stopped. I'm not sure why, but like that could be a good sign with what I have. When I was having like so many thousands per day, it's called a PVC, premature ventricular contraction, what I was having. And it's just a type of arrhythmia. And it just completely stopped. Like I stopped having them at all, like would take my pulse and couldn't feel it anymore. And like it was the palpitations caused me a lot of like anxiety, and just like I couldn't sleep on my left side, which I used to like to do. And like it was always messing with me because like my heart is just like beating so messed up. But then all of a sudden that went away. So I got another test with my doctor, and like he saw that the PVCs were gone and my heart was starting to pump a little better. So it was like, it was still like lacrosse was kind of out of the question at the time, but like things were kind of looking better. So I was like, all right, we'll see where this goes. Like I probably won't be able to play lacrosse, but maybe I will. And at least my health is getting better. So every 6 months we kept doing a checkup, and the cardiologist I had in London, he's worked with a lot of athletes. He's actually worked with the UFC before and stuff, and cleared people to come back from heart conditions in other sports. So he's like a really good guy to be seeing for that. Mm-hmm. And then about 6 months ago, I went for my checkup, and it was like my heart was pumping way better than before. Like my ejection fraction was almost up to 60%, which is like considered in the normal range. And my palpitations were still gone. So my heart function was just like a lot better than it was before. And he said, like, at that point, he was like, all right, I'm clearing you to go back into like working out. If you want to do some weight training, if you want to do some running, you can do that. He's like, start working out a little harder. And like, I was probably already going beyond what I was supposed to be doing. I was working out pretty hard already and like doing a lot of exercise and running, biking and different stuff. But once he gave me that all clear, I pretty much started going full blast and just like doing everything. And I was like, all right, if there's a time to come back from the NLL, it's going to be soon. Like, cause I'm already almost 27, not getting any younger, like going to be like midway through my career if I can come back right now. So I just started getting ready, started playing wall ball a lot and getting back in the gym. And then finally about 3 weeks ago, I had 3 weeks or a month ago, I had my latest checkup in London. So went up, did all the testing again, and he actually brought it up to me at the end of the appointment. He's like, I know you, we were talking, we've been talking for years about like you possibly going back to lacrosse. And I do think that you're good to play now. Wow. Like my ejection fraction at this point was up over 60%, which is like above average. And my heart is in really good condition now. So he said, like, we'll just keep having our checkups. We're lucky we caught it early. Like, it's kind of really rare for people to come back from this, but he was just saying like every case is different. And he's like, I knew right from the start that you had like a strong, healthy heart. So like he's with the proper medication. We were able to like, I don't know, handle it, proper lifestyle stuff and a bit of luck, like recovered a lot. So he gave me the all clear. I had to do some more testing. I had to do like a stress test where I basically run full blast on a treadmill for a half hour and they measure like all your heart's output and like, and your breathing. I had to have a tube in my mouth breathing into this thing the whole time. It was a grind, but I passed that. And then Calgary brought me out, had to get a physical out there, get everything cleared with their team doctor and cardiologist. And then I even saw a sport psychologist to help me like just get back into it, because it's been 6 years dealing with health issues and stuff. And obviously I was a bit nervous, so I saw her help me kind of get in a good mindset. And then they fully cleared me, signed me to the team, and then I practiced the next day.
Wow. And when was the first time that you talked to, I guess, Mike Board or Kurt Miloski or whoever you called?
Right after I got my latest checkup about a month ago, where the doctor had said like he's gonna clear me, but I just have to pass this one stress test, the one where I had to run on a treadmill. So mm-hmm. It was about a month ago, right after that appointment. I was in London and my brother actually lives in London, so I was hanging with him after, and he messaged them for me. And then I got a call from Mike Board about 10 minutes later. and he's like, we kind of got everything figured out. He's like, all right, if you pass this test, we're going to bring you out this weekend. Calgary was on a bye week. So from the time I got cleared to the time, or I think they played one game between when I got cleared, then they had a weekend in San Diego, and then the next weekend they had a bye week. And then by that time I finished all the testing, I was out there and I played the next game.
Wow. It's such a whirlwind after all the years of waiting to have it all happen so fast. I think it's probably a great thing that you did see the sports psychologist, because that's just a lot, even though it's all positive stuff, man, that's a lot to deal with, right?
Oh, for sure. It was really helpful seeing her. Actually, I've never like done anything like that, like any psychology or like seen a psychologist, but the team doctor, Dr. Robinson, suggested that. And I thought it was really, really good to help get me prepared and back in the right mindset for playing.
I want to ask about your family. I mean, there have been such boosters of you, I know, all the way up through your junior B and junior A and coming to the pros. And I know how strongly they supported you in not playing when that was obviously the choice you had to make. But what a confluence of events that you finally are able to come back. And when you are, you're joining Liam, your younger brother, on the team. And we chatted last week before you actually played, when it was announced you're coming out, we decided we're going to wait till you play and then have you on the show. But we talked about, you know, you and Liam really haven't played together, right?
No, we played a few games in Windsor before, and then like, I don't, maybe one or two games in Six Nations for the Arrows, but that was really it. Like, because he's 3 years younger than me, so I think he may have AP'd a little bit for the Clippers in my third year. I'm not sure if he even did, though. But then in my fourth year, I played for the Clippers at the start of the year, and me and Liam played some games together. And then I went to Six Nations, and then my second year in Six Nations, he AP'd for them and played a couple games with me. But that was it. But growing up, we played so much together in the park, and like my dad coached both of us up so much, so we'd always be like all three of us playing, or like me and Liam go over. So we have played, like, I probably played with him more than anyone in my life, you know, but like actual games, we had never really played too much.
And how is it? I mean, your dad, he was one of the first people I thought of, because he's always, I've always enjoyed running into him at games and talking lacrosse, and, you know, we will message once in a while. And as soon as I saw that you're coming back, I thought, holy cow, John's going to be pretty stoked for this. I'm sure, you know, him and the whole family. How's it been for them?
Oh, he was pumped. Like, he's been like my biggest mentor and coach all growing up in lacrosse. And like, he was super fired up for me. And he's like, after every game, calling me and coaching me up on what I did, or what, mostly what I did wrong, but maybe if I did something right here or there. But he's always been tough love, like hard to please, but I think that's made me and my brother both a lot better. Like, he really knows the game well and loves lacrosse and has been around it his whole life, and is a really good coach. So he was super pumped. My grandparents and my mom were like extremely excited for me too, but dad is more of like a coach. Like, he's more serious. Like, right when I got cleared, he's like, all right, this is what you need to be doing to get, have you been doing this? Like, have you been doing that? Have you been playing with you? Playing off the wall often? And like, just, he was like so serious about it right away for me to get back in. And but yeah, it was really helpful having all their support and guidance getting back into it.
I want to go back a bit now and talk about, you know, when you're coming into the league, because you did a great job encapsulating kind of your ascent to the National Lacrosse League. But I want to give folks who aren't familiar a sense of why Mike Board was calling you within 10 minutes and why the team was so excited to get you back out. Because, you know, you grow up, you're a high level player in Windsor, but again, you know, a junior B program that always competitive, always a really successful program, but it's hard to say how junior B translates. And then you come up and you're also a really good football player, right? I mean, you played defensive end for Windsor University.
Yeah.
So you've got this athleticism, and then you come start playing junior A, as you mentioned, with the Arrows. And the 2015 season, it was, like you said, a real growing learning experience. And then you get to the Minto Cup that year, and you're playing Coquitlam, where Chris Cloutier has gone out from Kitchener-Waterloo. He led the Adnacks in scoring in the BC playoffs, and he was just obviously a fantastic player. He was such an amazing player. I mean, people see how good he is now, but he was just lights out in junior from the time he was 16. He was playing. I remember him being a 16, 17 year old being called up, 17, I think, being called up to the senior A KW Kodiaks and being maybe their best player in a playoff series.
Wow.
He was a kid.
Yeah, he's unreal.
He's amazing. And he was
a chance to play with him in Six Nations the next year after the after playing against them.
Right. So, and that must have been fun for you, because I think that Minto Cup with, I mean, I was down calling those games, and you and Adam Bomberry were basically, it was obvious, we're told you two are taking care of Cloutier, and that's going to make the difference in this series. And it did. You guys won in six games. I thought you and Bomberry both did a great job of covering him, and what a series that was. It must have been a real, like, first of all, vote of confidence for you that your coaches are saying, okay, you're one of the two guys that we trust to really go and do this. And also, it must have reinforced your confidence the way that you guys were able to deal with Cloutier in that series.
For sure. Well, something that was always a specialty for me is like one-on-one defense. Like, I like the challenge of being against like somebody who's a big, strong, good player and will like push me to my limit to be my best. So like, and playing one-on-one is like, I don't know. I feel like it's something I've always excelled at and been good at, because I have a good mix. Well, it didn't look like it in the first game when I got beat underneath, but I do have good feet for my size. I'm pretty quick and athletic and big, or have been in the past, and want to get back to the same mix of those things. But I feel like those attributes have always helped me to be a good one-on-one defender. So when the coach told me basically my job for the series was just matching up on Cloutier and just beating up on him, basically shut him completely down, that was like my specialty. That's right in my wheelhouse, what I'm good at. So I was ready for that. And it was did help me grow my confidence a lot, and definitely also probably helped me make a little bit of a name for myself going into the draft.
Yeah, I think it made a huge difference. I mean, I actually had you ranked right behind Bomberry in that list. And I mentioned, I just went back and was reading my story about it then, and said, you know, I would have had you ahead of him before the world before the World Championship, but he went and played for the Iroquois Nationals at the World Indoor Lacrosse Championship in Onondaga and looked really good playing against men already. So I was like, okay, either way. And now, of course, Adam Bombery, I think, is one of the top defensive players in the NLL. If he hadn't missed a bunch of games with injury this year, I think he'd be right up there for Defender of the Year.
He's super talented. And he's a good all-around player, too. Like, he could play offense, run the floor. Like, he could do everything well. He's a really good defender.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, so that's why Calgary was excited. It's because that's the level of play that you were showing back in 2015. And then, of course, as you mentioned, what was it like in 2016? You play with the Arrows for the summer, and then you get the chance to go to a Man Cup and, you know, hope and help them win, help the Chiefs win their third Man Cup in 4 years. That must have been just another level of excitement to take up to the senior.
Yeah, it was absolutely like unreal getting the opportunity to play with the Chiefs. Like, I was playing with some of the best players in the world. Like, the Chiefs were so stacked that year, and then playing under like John Tavares and like some of these coaches that are just like such legends in the sport too. It was a crazy experience. I was heartbroken to lose with the Arrows, because like playing for Six Nations just means a lot to me. And I love that the organization and like the history behind Six Nations and like all the guys I played with there. But then getting a chance to still play with the Chiefs and win a man was amazing. And I felt undeserving of it. I had a little bit of an imposter syndrome. Like, I didn't play all season, just got thrown in the lineup going into the end of playoffs in the man. But I tried my best to just be a good teammate and work hard for the team and represent Six Nations as well as I can. And ended up winning a man for it. So it was an amazing experience.
I'm trying to think, did you get to play in the playoffs with them much?
Only one game. So I came in really close to the end, and we were playing in the Borough. We were down 2-0 and we lost, I think, like 15-9 or 15-8. And, that was the only game I played. And then we won 4 in a row against them and came back from down 3-0, which was like just insane. So it was a crazy experience, but I only played one game in that series. But I got to play against John Grant Jr., which was just crazy because he was like one of my favorite players growing up. So that was a really cool experience for me, just even playing in that one game in the series and playing with so many legends. Both teams were absolutely stacked. So it was cool to just be a part of that.
Pretty good memory, by the way, because you did play that one game, August 25th, in Peterborough, and lost 15-9.
It was a tough one, but
yeah. that was the one that made it 3-0, right?
Yeah. And then we won 3 in a row after that.
It was incredible. I mean,
four in a row.
Yeah. That was the year that the Chiefs were missing for that playoff run. Cody Jamison was out for the first series and the first three games of that series. Johnny Palas and Jordan Durston, they're three top lefty scorers.
Yeah, I remember Jammer came back and was huge for us late in the playoffs. It was a crazy comeback. Like,
The funny thing in that series, I talked to Rich Kilgore afterwards, and because Cody had been pushing to play the whole way, and Rich Kilgore said no, and finally, you know, you're hurt your knee, because he'd hurt his knee quite seriously, and Rich Kilgore said the conversation was very different after game three, because it had been like, let me play, I want to play, and after game three, Rich Kilgore said Jammer walked up and said, I'm playing. There was no conversation. He came out, and I don't know if you remember the knee brace he wore. It looked like its own leg. Like, it was a huge knee brace. And the incredible thing, like, watching the games, being there, calling them in person, you got to see, like, on camera, you would see Cody doing really good things. He went out, he played well, scored big points and everything. And then what you wouldn't see was, after he'd play a shift, he would limp back to the bench. And when he would step into the bench, there's that little rise, right, where the boards are, and to get up into the bench. And he would have to, like, step up with his right leg. I think his left leg was the one he hurt, right? Either way, he would step up with his good leg and have to kind of shift himself to swing the bad leg up over the boards. It was unbelievable. He was playing on one leg. And
yeah, it was crazy to see. That was a absolutely legendary series. Like, I love the history of, like, lacrosse and knowing, like, old timer stories and different stuff. And just to be a part of that series and be able to, like, I don't know, I feel like it was lacrosse history and like everything the team went through, and like seeing him, Cody Jameson, battle through that injury, and like,
yeah,
all the boys played so hard, like, especially like he's from Six Nations, you know, so like representing is like is everything to them, like playing for their team. So it was like, once we were down 3-0, it was like, I feel like he didn't care, like, just put me in no matter what. I don't care how hurt I am, like, I want to play, I want to try to help my team win. Yeah. You know,
I thought the interesting thing too, when you get to the Man Cup that year and you're playing Maple Ridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you start out, I believe, if I recall correctly, you win game one and then lose game two.
Yes.
And I talked to Rich Kilgore again, the head coach, after, and he said, yeah, you know, the conversation was even shorter after game two of the Man Cup. It wasn't even really a conversation. Jammer just looked at Rich, and Rich said, I know. Oh, you're in. That's fine. Like, you don't stop Cody Jameson.
For sure.
Yeah.
I came in that third game as well, because like we won those four straight. So obviously they weren't going to change the lineup up too much. But then after we lost that second game against Maple Ridge, that's when I came back in and played the rest of the games.
And that was a great series for you guys. You come in and win that, and then I just think it's pretty cool to look back at that and remember the player that you were when you had to stop playing, and why they were, why the Roughnecks were so excited to get you back. And also, I want to give folks a chance to hear, because I think people are going to enjoy just getting to hear you talk and hear your thoughts on everything, because I've always enjoyed talking to you at games, and I'm, super excited to see you back.
Thank you, Stanford. Likewise, I always enjoyed catching up with you.
And what are you thinking now as you move forward? You mentioned that. So the one thing we were talking, and you said you're still taller than your brother Liam, but he outweighs you now, right?
Yeah.
So you got to put a little bulk on so you can push him around again.
I definitely want to put some size on. So like, I only had about 6 months notice, like before, when I used to play lacrosse, like I'd been working out for like 7 years straight when I first got into the NLL. And then I pretty much, since I tore my ACL and dealt with this heart stuff for like almost the past 5 years, like I really didn't work out like much at all. Like I did hot yoga and ran, but like I lost a lot of size and strength. I wasn't really in the weight room at all. And that was definitely a big part of my game, being strong. And I'm still like, I'm trying to play a little more finesse and like know that I'm not so big, but it's really hard for me to change my play style at this point. So I'm definitely going to have to put on some more size and strength, but I've been in the gym and trying to get my diet right to put on some more weight. Cause before I was like, when I first got drafted, I was like over 220, probably, or around 220. And now I'm like 195, 200 pounds. So that does make a big difference, but I feel like my cardio is really good right now, at least. So hopefully I can maintain that and put on another like 10, 15 pounds over the course of the year. And then I feel like I'll be in a lot better playing shape for the style of play I like to play.
You know, it really reminds me of talking to Steve Priolo. I did a story about him several years ago now for Inside Lacrosse Magazine called Steve Priolo, the Most Interesting Man in Lacrosse, because he's a fascinating dude, right?
And, oh, I bet.
And he, he's a pretty big guy, 6'3 or 6'4, 6'5. I don't know. He's like around your size. And he was, during his, as a lacrosse player, he's in the 220s, maybe 230. He's a lean guy, but he's really strong. But I remember asking him like, hey, what are your plans for later after lacrosse, whatever? It just came up. And he said he wanted to lose about 30 or 40 pounds and become a rock climber.
What?
That's cool. And because he's cool. A really good rock climber. He and his wife, Jackie, like they post pictures of them doing rock climbing, but it's hard when you weigh 230 or something, right? To haul yourself up these cliff faces. So I don't know. Hopefully you got a little shot before you put your weight on. Just go out and climb a few rocks.
Yeah. I've actually been getting into some rock climbing, funny enough, about 6 months ago, probably, or last year, I got rock climbing shoes and started going here and there to a rock climbing spot in Windsor. So I have, I guess I got to take advantage of it before I put on back on that weight.
Right.
At one point I was like 220, 230. And then It's crazy how much lighter I am now, but I definitely want to put some weight back on. Maybe not that much, but I'll just keep working out, eating good, and see where my body settles at. Cause I feel like I've already noticed some mass in weight being put on. And I'm not even really trying to that crazy, but it's just from being back in the weight room and eating good. It just starts kind of coming back on.
And don't worry, Priest's still a pretty good rock climber, even at, you know, 220 or whatever. So it'll nice. Still be there, but it's easier. Some of the finger holds you got to go for, if you want to do the really gnarly grades, you got to.
Oh,
you
know. For sure. I bet.
Yeah. So what, anything else that you're focused on or thinking about, or is that, I mean, that's a lot to focus on already, but what, you know, as you get ready for the next game, like how's your mentality heading in now that you've got a couple under your belt?
Now it's like I got back into it and I'm feeling a little more comfortable, and now I just want to start making more of an impact on the team. And also, well, maybe not an impact, but I don't want to be making any negative impacts. Like, I don't want to be getting beat. Like, I got beat a couple times, either on guys taking me to the net or people cutting through the middle. And I just hope to be a little more aware and stay, like I said, practice my shuffling, change of direction, and staying low and just moving around good on my feet and not getting out of position to try and lunge at people and make hits and different stuff. So that's my goal going forward, is to just kind of, I don't want to be, I hate being a chink in the armor, so to speak. I don't want to be a weak point for the boys. I want to be solid and everybody to know that, like, I'm going to do my job on the floor and play well and play hard D. I definitely feel like I always play hard and give a lot out there, give my best effort, but I definitely don't want to be messing up and causing problems for the team. So that's the next goal, is to just be playing solid, be an integral part of the defense, and be a reliable guy that, you know, I'm not going to be out of position or making mistakes.
You know, it's interesting. Sometimes too, a little, getting a little fired up, getting a little irate doesn't hurt sometimes. And I thought, and we did discuss this, I thought that when Nathan Grennan kind of got up in your face, which is part of his whole game, right? He's a smaller guy, but really gritty. But, you know, the Panther City rookie kind of got up in your grill and you gave him a bit of a shove back. And I thought there was a noticeable difference in your game after that too, where you just kind of thought, what are you doing? I am going to go out and assert myself here.
For sure. That game, I tried to, like I said, I was thinking too much the first game, playing a little timid and worrying too much. And then the second game, once I got physical with a couple guys pushing around, it was a lot easier to just get out of my head and get into the moment, get into the game, and not be worrying so much, and just let my reactions and instincts take over. I just tried to remind myself, I'm like, man, you've been playing since you're 3 years old. Like, go out there and just do your thing. You don't have to worry so much, or like, I know how to play lacrosse, you know. I was just trying to kind of remind myself of that and not overthink it.
It certainly started to work out. It's as I said, really happy to see you back on the floor, looking forward to getting to see you at a rink in person and catching up, and certainly appreciate you taking the time to come on Laxbeat and let us know about the whole story.
Oh, no problem, Stamper. Thank you for having me, and I definitely look forward to catching up in person. I'm sure I'll see you soon around the rink.
All right, lacrosse friends, that'll just about wrap things up for this episode of Laxbeat. Thank you so much for being with me here on the show. As always, thank you to Kellen LeClaire. Remember to check out Laxbeat wherever you get your podcasts. And we are based on Anchor FM, but now we are very pleased to be back on Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, one of the great sources of podcasts, certainly the place to go for podcasts about the game of lacrosse. And I'm pretty excited to be back in the fold and appearing regularly on Inside Lacrosse Podcasts. Join us next week for more of Laxbeat, the best of podcasting from the world of lacrosse. Laxbeat is part of the Lacrosse Link family, and it is back on Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, editing this week with the assistance of Logan Borkwith. So thank you to Logan. And as always, thank you for our theme music to Scotty Comer of Love You to Death for the outstanding theme music on Laxbeat.